As we begin this morning, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? With us? Oh, I thought he had his hand up. You go, oh, no, I mean, you know, he's color coordinated. I noticed it when I was sitting here, because he's going, man, why are you picking on me? Anybody, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? Anyone want to take a stab at it? I mean, that's kind of not really a rhetorical question. How could you live as a Christ follower?
Believe in forgiveness.
Believe in forgiveness, okay. What is a Christ follower? Someone who follows Jesus Christ?
Does he turn?
I mean, it's kind of answering itself, doesn't it? And stuff like that. See, if we want to live like Christ followers, then we can see these lasting differences in our homes and in our communities. And I know it overstates the obvious to say that in order to live like a Christ follower, you first have to become a Christ follower, which means you are a believer in Jesus Christ, or you're a Christian if you want to call it that. And with Christ as your leader, the one who has forgiven you of your sins, the most basic task is simply to follow him, the directions and the guidelines that he has given us, that we have in the Bible, while he was here and through the instructions. I want us to look at some marks of a Christ follower that we see in the life of Paul the Apostle as we continue working our way through Acts. We're in chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 8 through 12 today. We're going to be talking about living like a Christ follower. You see, the very first thing is the Christ follower learns to be boldly persuasive with the good news. Verse 8, if you have your scripture there in front of you and you want to follow along, verse 8 right now, it says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Now, do you notice as we're reading this, it does not say arrogantly persuasive. Christ's followers do not always have to be right. It is sometimes okay to say, I really don't know. You see, sometimes we get dogmatic. We get arrogant about things that we really know very little about. However, please don't miss the importance of being boldly persuasive. How does a Christ follower become boldly persuasive? Now, there are a lot of different things that you could talk about in this area, but I want to focus on two. The first is becoming diligent students of God's Word. You know, studying the Bible. Paul did not sit around and wait for some magical or supernatural infusion of this knowledge from God. No, he was a student. He studied God's Word. Now, he knew the Old Testament very thoroughly because he was a Jew of Jew, and he would have already known it before he ever received Jesus Christ. But just imagine, as he studied after becoming a Christ follower, it probably had a whole new meaning to him. Came through him in a whole new light. You see, he did not simply stop learning when he became a Christian. He kept studying. He kept digging in deeper and deeper. So we need to all work at reading our Bibles and studying, getting to know God's Word and learning how to apply it to our lives as well as how it relates to other people. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. The second thing that we can do in that area is to stay as full of the Holy Spirit as we possibly can. You cannot read through the book of Acts without seeing those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were both bold and they were persuasive as they continued moving forward. They shared the good news about Jesus with people when they could. Well, look at a few of those verses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Acts chapter 14, verse 3. It says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. You see, they stayed filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are several other verses that you can work your way through that show us how we can become bold and persuasive. But we need to stay in God's Word, and we need to stay as full of the Holy Spirit as we can. Only God can make you all that you need to be. Let Him give you the knowledge, the power, and the boldness that you need to follow Him, to strive after Him. The second thing that we see in the life of Paul is that we need to remain flexible as we follow the Lord. See, Christ followers, they may need to somehow redirect their ministry. The first part of verse 9, it says, but some of them became obstinate. Stop talking about the Jews who were there in the synagogue. Some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. Now, there's not a whole lot to say here. Paul actually faced opposition from his own people almost everywhere that he went. He's teaching about Jesus in the Jewish synagogue there in Ephesus. And some of the Jews who belonged to that synagogue, they began to hinder his ministry there. Now, I suppose it's no surprise to Paul, but I wonder what kind of mental and emotional process he went through during this time as these people are starting to speak against him, to speak against Jesus. You see, people are hearing about the Lord. Many of them are deciding to follow Jesus as their Messiah. And Paul could very well have become discouraged. Some of these Jews are starting to spread damaging rumors about Jesus and those who are following him. And I'm sure that it troubled Paul and had an effect on his life. However, as we'll see next, Paul simply redirected his ministry efforts. He left the synagogue where he was being slandered, and yet God was still able to use him effectively. We may face times when we need to reevaluate our direction. Lord, I'm pretty sure that you have called me to do this, but things just aren't working out. Is there something different, something more that I should be doing? Sometimes the answer from God is simply going to be no. And you're just going to have to hang in there, stick it out, keep following God and doing the very best that you can right where He has placed you. And then there will be other times when God will put something new on your heart. He will give you a new direction and lead you in a new way. And you are to follow Him in that instance as well. Well, let's see what happened in Paul's new direction. Because Christ's followers, they learn to utilize their surroundings to spread the good, to spread God's word. Second half of verse 9 and verse 10. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, very little is known about this teacher by the name of Tyrannus. The name, it actually means tyrant. It's probably a name that was given to this person by his students. Some Western texts, manuscripts, they say that Paul had these discussions daily in this hall from the 5th hour until the 10th hour. That would roughly be from like 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. Now, Tyrannus, he most likely used the lecture hall in the morning hours when it was cooler in the day. However, it was available for Paul to use right in the heat of the day when most people are eating lunch or maybe trying to find ways to get out of the heat. These Christ followers, or at least the prospective ones that we're talking about here, they came to these discussions. They may have worked early mornings, much like Paul may have done. Paul was a tent maker, and he probably used his tent-making money to actually help pay the fees for this hall. To work in several hours in the morning, Paul's students are able to engage in this religious instruction. They're able to discuss and to talk about God's word and the things that are going on. You see, they took their faith very seriously to be out in the heat of the day, sitting there, studying and learning. Now, every single community has a lecture hall of Tyrannus, so to speak. Where in our community can we have daily discussions about what the Lord is doing, how he can help others to share with him? Think about it for a moment. Where can you talk to others about how good God is and what he wants to do in people's lives? Sometimes you're a discussion group, it may simply be over the fence with a neighbor. Sometimes it might be in a coffee shop. It could even be in a grocery store or a post office, some other place where you just happen to chance come across somebody and be able to share with them and talk with them. But wherever it is, I think the Lord is calling us to be more intentional, to be more deliberate about talking about him, sharing the good news about Jesus. Do people know who you trust in? Do they know that you are following Jesus Christ, that you are a Christ follower? Now, we often talk about how important it is to simply live a Christian life and let people see Jesus in us. And that's very true, and it is very important. I don't want to minimize how much that is. But somewhere along the line, people need to also hear the word of the Lord. See, verse 10 says that all the Jews and the Greeks in that whole province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Yes, they saw the Lord working in Paul's life. So we'll see that in verses 11 and 12 in just a few moments. But that was only to confirm the word of God, not to replace it. Let me propose another idea here in relation to using our surroundings to spread God's word. I believe that God is using some of our churches and our homes to serve the purpose of these lecture halls for discussion. However, they can only be as successful as church people are open to accepting people who may not meet their religious expectations. Think about it for a moment. We want people to come through these doors, to come and to sit in this place, and to be able to hear the word of the Lord and to hear about Jesus. But sometimes the church environment is so foreign to them that they just don't want to be here. We've had luaus, and somebody said, I would come to the luau, but God might strike me. God's not like that. But you see, it leaves us with a couple options. Either we expect for people to be like us, to go and clean up the rack, to become just like us, before we accept them and we let them through the doors, or we accept them and we let them through the doors just the way they are. We try to remove as many obstacles and hindrances as we can. And then once they are here, we let the Lord work in their lives and change them if that's what he desires to do. Now, some Christ followers have been successful in using their homes to help facilitate these discussion groups. There are many creative ideas of things you can do. Some of them we've tried here at this place, in this church. We've had block parties. You know, we'll close off the street, invite all the neighbors, and try to get people to come and join us. You could do that at your house. In a block party, invite neighbors over. Have a Bible study in your home. Now, some of that may sound really, really grand and too big for you. Well, shrink it down. Invite one neighbor over. Meet with one neighbor, one person. Somewhere along the way, find a way to share with them about Jesus. Tell them how good Jesus is and what he's done in your life and the changes he's made in your life. See, as you learn to evaluate your surroundings, what can you do to more effectively spread the good news about Jesus? To tell others in a more effective way? Do you realize that you've got the best message there ever is? That's the good news about Jesus. There is hope in this life and in the life that is to come for all of eternity. Let's get the word out there. Let's get it out in a relevant way, in a way that speaks to this age, to the people around us. One of the ways that God wants to use us To let people know about it is found in our final point. And that is that Christ followers can be used to do extraordinary miracles. Verses 11 and 12. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Now, I've attended church since I started in middle school. It's been a long time now. And I've seen God move, and I've seen miracles, but I've never seen something to the extent of this. I think many of us desire to see God move and to see these miracles taking place. You know, there are some televangelists, some TV preachers out there who make a sideshow, who make a freak show out of God and this whole thing of doing miracles. They have turned the power of God around, and they're using it for their own benefit, for their own purpose. They forget that it's supposed to be about God. It's not about us. We should be giving him the honor and the glory. I enjoy hearing about miracles and how they take place. And truly, I didn't ask for permission to do this. But I read, and I'm not even sure how it popped up, on Facebook, she was talking about a miracle. And it wasn't until she was able to release her son to God that God performed a miracle in Timmy's life. And God would still be God whether he did or he didn't. And God performed a miracle in Timmy's life, and he's here, well, not here today, but he's still here today. God works miracles. I've seen him work. I've seen him move. That's what we desire. And I believe that God still wants to do extraordinary miracles. He still wants to move in a mighty way. As we look through the book of Acts, we see how people were healed and lives were changed, and God still wants to do that today. And he wants to use us to do that. He wants to work through us. He wants us to seek after him and to pray for those. And as you do that, you don't have to be some TV preacher that's up there and stuff. Just be yourself. Be real with people. And pray and watch God move. He's big enough. He can take care of it. Remember, it's not about us. It's all about God. The scripture does not say that Paul did these extraordinary miracles. It says that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. What was the result? People were healed. They were delivered from evil spirits that were tormenting them. If we would only allow God to work through us, be willing to pray for people, maybe even put God on the spot at times, he's big enough, he can take it. As we wrap it up this morning, I hope that each and every one of you are Christ followers. That you have asked Jesus Christ to come and to be the Lord and the leader of your life. That you're following after him, that you're serving him. If you have not, today could be that day. Simply ask him to come. Tell him you're sorry for the things that you have done, the sins that you have done against him. Ask him to come and forgive you. He will. Ask him to be the leader of your life. Surrender your life to him. To you Christ followers, those of you who are here, let's learn to be boldly persuasive about the good news, sharing Jesus any chance we get. Let's also be flexible enough to redirect the ministry when things aren't going quite the way they should, or as God gives us a new direction, a new path. Let's learn to utilize our surroundings, the things that are available to us, the opportunities that we have. And then let's allow God to do extraordinary miracles through us as we help people see who Jesus really is.